Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yesterday, we read in the Parsha, Moshe, in a dramatic speech, telling the Jewish people he is not going to be entering Eretz Yisrael. He is going to be staying on the other side of the Yarden. But don't fear, he says, because Yehoshua hu over lefanecha kasher diber Hashem, Yehoshua is going to take over and be the next leader. I would like to ask today the following question. Why Yehoshua? You might say that's a silly question. Obviously, he should be the next leader. But let me explain to you why I think it is a very valid question to ask. Let's think about Yehoshua together for a minute. Probably the most famous story we've ever heard about Yehoshua, until we get, of course, to his leadership, is the story of the spies. Yehoshua is one of the 12 spies. He's one of the two, him and Kalev, who speak nicely about Eretz Yisrael. But when the story of the spies takes place, it lists for us first in the Psukim the names of all of the spies that are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the order of these names are very, very strange. They don't go in order of Shevet. They don't go in order of the mothers, the Imaho. What is the order of these names? Source 1, the Ramban. Kol ma'alat atzman min am. They are counted in order of importance, their merit, how great they are. Well, guess what? Yehoshua is not number one on the list. He's not two, he's not three, he's not four. He's number five. Kalev comes in number three. Also in the story of the spies, we know Moshe changes his name from Hoshea in source 2 to Yehoshua. And Chazal famously tells us, as quoted in Rashi from the Gemara in Sota, Nitzbalel alav that Hashem Yoshiacha me'atzat meraglim. He adds in a yud to put Hashem's name into his name, praying that God should save him from the other spies. Clearly implying that Moshe was nervous. Clearly implying that Moshe thought maybe he wouldn't be able to stand up to the other spies. Also, the spies return. Source number 3. The spies start talking badly about Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua is silent. Vayahas Kalev etam. Kalev gets up, quiets the nation, defending Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua is silent. Then, only psukim later, source number 4, the spies finish their speech. The people are crying. Moshe and Aaron fall on their faces, and finally Yehoshua and Kalev together try to help out and vayomru and defend Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't work at all. It's too late. The people attempt to stone them. Kalev gets rewarded and gets extra praise in the psukim. Yehoshua does not. Source number 5, Avdi Kalev Ekev Haita Ruach Acharitimo. Wow, Kalev. What an amazing thing you did. Both get to survive, but Kalev gets an extra reward, the land of Hebron. The text is silent about Yehoshua. Yehoshua is not doing so well in comparison to Kalev, it would seem. Not only that, the Psukim emphasize this in source number 6. You see, there's a rule in Tanakh. Normally, when we say people's names, we list their names, we do it in age order. But if one person is more important than the other, they come first. Look at source 6 with me. In source 6, where I bolded, Moshe and Aaron are being listed in the Psukim. And as typically is done, Moshe's name is first. He's younger, but he's seriously more important than Aaron. He's a much more significant leader. So too, continue along here in our Psukim, Kalev's name is listed before Yehoshua, and again a few Prakim later in Bamidbar Lamed Bet. Causing us to question here, the Psukim are telling us that Kalev succeeded over Yehoshua. Why is Yehoshua our next chosen leader? But let me further the question. We have two stories of Yehoshua where he makes a mistake, and Moshe has to rebuke him and say, "You're wrong, Yehoshua." Source number 7 by Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf. Yehoshua is by the mountain with Moshe, and he says, where I bolded again, Vayomer al Moshe kol mechama b'machaneh. There's a war going on. And Moshe rebukes him. You're wrong. Second story, the story of Eldad Umedad, source number 8. We have 70 new prophets going on, two of them, Eldad Umedad, who are prophesizing in the machaneh, in the camp. And Yehoshua gets upset. Vayomer Adoni Moshe Klaim, stop what you're doing. This is terrible. Moshe rebukes him again. Twice in the psukim, Yehoshua is wrong and is publicly rebuked by Moshe. Lastly, to fill out my question, 7 times in the psukim, source number 9, Yehoshua is told, Chazak v'yamatz, be strong. The first 3 times is by Moshe, twice in this past week's parsha we just read. Chazak v'yamatz, Yehoshua, be strong. Why do you tell someone to be strong so many times? Because he's terrified. Because he lacks confidence. Because he's scared. God then says to Yehoshua 3 more times, Chazak v'yamatz, in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, all listed for you in source number 9. Lastly, our number 7 is the Jewish people turning to Yehoshua and saying, Chazak v'yamatz. He's nervous. It's obvious to everyone. Moshe's saying it publicly. The Jewish people even say it to him. What type of leader is a leader without confidence? What type of leader is someone who is fearful and someone who needs to be told Chazak v'yamatz so many times? We have another example of a leader without confidence, and that's in source number 10. Shaul HaMelech. Shaul is told he's going to be king. The lottery is chosen. Shaul's name comes out. They can't find him. They look for him. They cannot find Shaul. Where is he? They have to ask Hashem for help. Hashem tells them, Hinehu nechba el hakelim. He's hiding with the utensils. He's in the closet. He's scared. And they have to pull him out. What happens as a result when a leader shows a lack of confidence and a fear? Pasuk of Zion. Ubine Belial Amru Ma Yoshienu Zeh. You have these people of the Jewish people who say, who is this guy? How could he possibly save us? They belittle him. They make fun of him. And this is an issue for his leadership. Yehoshua is standing in front of us, terrified, shaking in his boots, and we know it. Is this the appropriate leader for the Jewish people? So you might ask me, before I move on, well, who else could it be? If it's not going to be Yehoshua, who are our other choices? Who are our candidates to be the leader besides Yehoshua? Moshe's children don't seem to be on that list. As I gave you in source 11, famous Pasuk Vela told us Aaron and Moshe, these are the generations of Aaron and Moshe, and you keep reading, and it only tells you the names of Aaron's children. Moshe's children are not listed. They don't have any sort of leadership ability coming from them, and we hear nothing about them. Aaron's children, Elazar, becomes the Kohen Gadol, so he's not a possibility for taking over Moshe either. Who's left? Well, what about Caliph? I started off by showing you that a comparison between Caliph and Yehoshua, Caliph really seems stronger, more assertive, more sure of himself. We know other things about Caliph, something incredible. Source number 12. When we finally get into Eretz Yisrael, Vayoresh Misham Kalev et Shlosha B'nei HaAnak. Who kills those giants? Those giants we were so scared about, which is the reason why the spies convinced us to cry, which is the reason why we spent 40 years in the desert because we were so scared of them. Kalev kills them. What a leader. He got up, he said, don't worry about the giants. But then he actually took action. He killed them when he finally got in. That's an incredible inspiration. We know about Kalev from Sefer Yehoshua. He led the tribe of Yehuda to killing out all the Canaanim, all the non-Jews in their territory. Yehuda was the only tribe that accomplished what they were supposed to do. They were led by Kalev, and therefore they did what they were commanded to do. That's Kalev. Second option, Pinchas. We have an incredible story in source 13 about Pinchas. Who's Pinchas? We have two people, Zimri, the Nasi of Shimon, getting up and publicly sinning with a woman named Kazbi. What does Pinchas do? Source 13, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar, he sees what's going on. Vayidkor et shnehem et ish Yisrael et isha el kavata. He stabs them with a spear. Stabs them right then and there. Vatatzarm hamagefa me'al b'nei Yisrael. The plague stops. We're all saved. Wow. What a hero. And God says about him, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron ha'kohen he'shivet chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanoes kenati b'tocham. What an amazing attribute Pinchas has. He's zealous for God. And because of that, I will not lo kilita et b'nei Yisrael b'kenati. I won't destroy the Jewish people. He saved us. What a great candidate. But there's more we know about Pinchas. You see, Pinchas appears in Sefer Yoshua and also in Sefer Shoftim. And he saves us two more times. In Sefer Yoshua, source 14, when we are about to face a civil war between the tribes on one side of the Yarden, to Reuven, Gad, and Chatzishev and Menashe on the other side. You see, they built a Mizbeach. And we didn't know, were they leaving us? Were they rebelling? What do you need a Mizbeach for? We still have a Mishkan. You're supposed to come over to the other side to give your sacrifices. A civil war was about to occur. We were going to wipe them out. Along comes Pinchas. Pinchas crosses over to the other side, source 14. Pasag Lamed Vayishma Pinchas, he listens to what they have to say. And they give him their argument. This is just a symbol for us that we're part of the Jewish people, even though we live on the other side. And this was okay for Pinchas. Pasuk Lamed Aleph Vayomer Pinchas ben Elazar Hakohen El Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad Beetz Bnei Menashe Hayom Yadanu Ki Betochenu Hashem Asher Lo Ma'ata BaHashem Hamal Hazeh. I now realize you did good. You're not rebelling. Everything is okay. He then goes back Vayashav Pinchas Pasuk Lamed Bet, tells over his findings to the Jewish people, and everyone listens to Pinchas. Pasuk Lamed Gimel Vayitav Hadavar Be'enei Bnei Yisrael Vayivarcheu Elokim Bnei Yisrael V'lo Amru La'alot Aleim L'tzava L'shachet Et Ha'aretz. And therefore the Jewish people say, we believe you, Pinchas. We will not destroy Reuven, Gad, and Chatzishev Menashe. But one more time Pinchas shows up for us. And that's in Sefer Shoftim, source 15. And that is also in a civil war situation. Binyamin does a terrible, terrible thing at the end of the Sefer. They won't give over these horrible people who rape a Pilegesh. And therefore, we have a civil war against the tribe of Binyamin. But the weird thing is, we lose twice, and we don't understand it. So what do? Source 15, we go to the person who we know we can trust. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron omeid lefanav v'yamim ahem. Pinchas is there. We go to Pinchas. Pinchas tells us to go to war, and we win. So back to my question. We have other candidates. Why is Yehoshua picked? Why is Yehoshua, I would like to say, perfect for the job? I would like to give you three answers today. All three, I think, are correct. I think they're all true. And they're all the reason he's picked. But I'll break them up into three parts. Answer one, consistency. Answer two, commitment. And answer three, growth. Let me tell you what I mean. Answer number one, consistency in leadership. We all know about Yehoshua something very interesting, because the psukim tell us it four times. Look at source 16 with me. You can look where I bolded. He is called over and over again, Misharet Moshe. What is this word, Misharet? What does that mean? I looked it up in a Hebrew English dictionary to see how they translated the word. Servant. Bellboy, lackey. What is Misharet Moshe? But let me ask it a little differently. Was he unique, or was he one of many? If you think about a king doesn't have one servant. A king has many servants. Moshe's not a king, but he's the leader of a nation. Is Yehoshua unique, or is he one of so many people? The Ebenezer asks my question. And he does it in source 17 based on a very strange word in the pasuk. If you look with me at the pasuk, Vayan Yehoshua ben Nun Misharet Moshe Mibchu Rav. The Ebenezer wants to know, what is this word Mibchu Rav? What does that mean? He was the Misharet Moshe from Mibchu Rav. What does it mean? Ebenezer gives two answers which match our two approaches. Look with me at the Ebenezer. Vayesh Madbikim Mibchu Rav Misharet Moshe. It's answer one. put the word Mifchura together with the words that precede it, Misharet Moshe. V'hatam shesharat oto miyom shaya bachur. Mifchura means from the time he was young. Therefore, what the pasuk means is, this is Yehoshua, who was the helper of Moshe from when he was a child. Somebody who is unique to Moshe. He's been with Moshe forever. He follows Moshe around for years. This is somebody who's very unique. But the Ebenezer doesn't like that reading. Zeh inenu nachon, he says. Ki zeh hamasa haya b'shana shenit. He says, how could that be? We're only in year number two of Moshe's leadership. How many years could he have been following him around? Hanachon be'enai shehu mibchurav. Shehu mehamuvcharim l'sharet Moshe. It's not from when he was young. It's from those who were chosen. Ki acherim yeshimo. He was one of many who were chosen to help Moshe. He's not unique. He's one of many people. Moshe had many people be his misharet. Yehoshua is just one of those chosen. This gives us two very different views of Yehoshua's job as the misharet Moshe. If we stop for a second just to think about the job of Misharet in Tanakh, we see both of these possibilities come through. Very quickly, if you look at source 18 and 19, you see roles of being a Misharet being extremely unique. We have the role of Avishak Ashunamit, the woman who is chosen to warm David HaMelech when he is cold. I hope that was a unique job just for her, right? She is called the Mishrat Et HaMelech. She is also a Misharet, as well as Elisha, who is Vayishar Sehu in source 19, the Misharet of Eliyahu. If you know anything about Eliyahu, you know he is a lone character. He does not like to be around people. Therefore, there is no way he had any other person be his Misharet. The only reason he allows Elisha to follow him around is because God commanded him to. If not, Eliyahu would never have allowed Elisha to follow him around. These are unique characters. However, you can argue, there are other people who are labeled Misharet who are not so unique. Yosef, in two different examples in source 20, in the house of Potiphar is the Misharet, and in jail is Vayisharet Otam, helping out the person who's in charge of jail. So too in source 21, Shmuel Hanavi, in Eli's home, is Misharet Hashem in the Mishkan, and we know that Eli's other two sons, Chafni and Pinchas, do it as well. However, if you take my last two examples of Yosef and Shmuel, yes, they may not start out unique, but then they become extremely unique. Yosef, we all know, is the low servant in the beginning, but he works himself up and up and up until he is in charge of the entire household of Potiphar. So too, Shmuel may be one of many who are serving in the Mishkan, but he becomes the next leader of Am Yisrael. So these are people who are one of many who become unique. Let's compare now what we just said back to Yehoshua. Two possibilities of understanding this job of Yehoshua as being Misharet Moshe. One is from the beginning, he is unique. He is a type of Misharet that is unlike any other person that is working for Moshe. He is there from a very young age and continues on with Moshe forevermore. The Abarbanel supports my view in a very beautiful Abarbanel, source 22. Abarbanel asks the following question. When did Moshe change Yehoshua's name from Hoshea to Yehoshua? You see, most people in Tanakh who get their names changed, Avram to Avraham, Sarai to Sarah, up until their name is changed, they are called by their original name. They are called Avram. They are called Sarai. Then their name changes, and the psukim reflect that change by changing their name in the psukim. However, when it comes to Yehoshua, he is called Yehoshua in the psukim the entire time, before the story of the spies. So the Abarbanel asked the question, why? If his name was not changed until the story of the spies, why do we not call him Hoshea from the beginning? Comes the Abarbanel with the following answer. I'm reading from the second place where I started to bold. Mipnei shehekir bo shehaya yarei shamayim v'ki'ilu amar Hoshea shelka lo nikra kein ata ela mipnei shemeit sheba l'sharso haya korei otakim. Moshe recognized in Yehoshua that he was special. He had a certain level of Yirei Shamayim, so he wanted to put God's name into his name, Hoshea. But he didn't do it now, says Abarbanel. He did it in the very beginning, when he was his Misharet, when he just started out. That's why his name is Yeshua from the beginning, because he was called that from the beginning. He was unique from the start. Moshe changed his name from the start. He recognized there was something about Yeshua that was different. We only hear about it by the time of the Meraglim, because it's telling us, by the way, Moshe had changed his name. But his name was really changed from the start. That's possibility one. Possibility two is that Yeshua is one of many. Just like Yosef started that way, Shmuel started that way. But over time, like Yosef, he proves himself. And dare I say, he got a promotion for himself. And he got other responsibilities that the other Misharetz didn't have. What do I mean? Look at the first story we know about Yeshua, source 23. We have a war against Amalek. We all know the famous story, Moshe with his hands up to the sky. But who's the general of the war? Vayomer Moshe Yoshua, bachar lanu anashim v'tzehi lachem v'amalek. You, Yoshua, go be the general. He got promoted. You're no longer just my misharet, but now you're the general of the army. That's quite a promotion. Not only that, you may have been one of many, but now when it comes to source 24, the story of Har Sinai, you are the only one who gets to come with me to the mountain. Vayakam Moshe v'Yoshua mishartzo v'yal Moshe al har Elokim. Yoshua stands on the foot of the mountain. Everybody else has to stay much further away. Yoshua gets to go closer than everybody else. And even more so, had the ultimate promotion, source 25, when Moshe comes down the mountain and Chet HaEgel is taking place and we're sitting with the golden calf and Moshe punishes those people. Moshe at that point separates himself in source 25. He can't live in the Machaneh. He can't live in the camp anymore. He lives in an ohel by himself. Who lives with him? U'misharso Yehoshua ben Nun na'ar lo yamish mitocha ohel. Yehoshua is the only one allowed in his presence, never leaves that ohel. Yehoshua is separated out from everyone else. When you are looking for a leader to take over, you need a smooth transition. You need somebody who will be consistent with the leader that was before. You need someone who's followed that leader around for a very long time. Someone who knows exactly what that job entails. Like Elisha, who follows around Eliyahu before becoming the head of the Nevi'im. Like I'm sure Elazar did while he watched his father be the Kohen Gadol for so many years before stepping into his shoes, literally. Yehoshua as well followed around Moshe for so many years, his whole life. And therefore, he knows the mission. He knows the job. He knows what Moshe would do in every situation. He's perfect. He's consistent. He's the man for the job. Answer one, consistency. Answer two, commitment. What I mean by commitment is a commitment to Moshe's leadership. You see, Yehoshua has a very specific personality that comes through so clearly in every Yehoshua story and is the theme, or one of the themes, of Sefer Yehoshua. And that is obedience to everything Moshe ever told him he needs to do. Story one, we heard about Yehoshua, we discussed the war against Amalek, source 26 again, but look with which words I'm bolding now. Vayas Yehoshua ka'asher amar lo Moshe lilachem Amalek. What does Yehoshua do? Everything Moshe told him to do. He does everything that he is told. Over and over again, that language is used when it comes to Yehoshua. Follow along with me quickly as I show that to you. Source 27, how to cross over the Yarden. How does he do it? Where I bold it, kol adavar asher tziva Hashem et Yehoshua, ledaber la'am kechol asher tziva Moshe et Yehoshua. That's what he did. What God told Moshe, what Moshe told Yehoshua, that's how he crossed over the Yarden. When it comes to repeating over the Torah, we did Kasher Tziva Moshe, source 28, Eved Hashem Etz Bnei Yisrael, Kakatuv B'Sefer Torah Moshe. He did everything Moshe told him to do, which was written in Torah Moshe. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, keep going, Kasher Tziva Moshe Eved Hashem, and I'll read you Pasuk Lamed Hey, Lo Haya Davar Mikol Asher Tziva Moshe, Asher Lo Kara Yehoshua Neged Kol Kal Yisrael. There was nothing when he was reading over the Torah, and the brachos and the klalos, the blessings and the cursing, that he didn't say that was exactly that Moshe commanded him to do. Everything Moshe told him to do, he did to the T. keep going. When it came to conquering the land, source 29, Et asher tziva Hashem Elokecha et Moshe Avdo, he did everything God told Moshe to do. Source 30, conquer the land again. Just look where I'm highlighting. Kasher tziva Moshe et Hashem. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayikach Yoshua et kol haaretz kechol asher diber Hashem el Moshe. He got the whole land like God told Moshe. Everything is like God told Moshe. That is what Yoshua did. Over and over. It's so repetitive in the psukim, but it's on purpose because it's teaching us his personality. Giving out the territory, source 31, Kasher tziva Hashem biyad Moshe. Everybody figured this out about Yoshua. So when anybody in Sefer Yoshua wants something from Yoshua, they know the words to use. Moshe said so, Yehoshua, and they know now Yehoshua's going to do it. Yehuda wants to give the land to Kalev that Kalev was promised. When they come to Yehoshua to say, give him the land, look what they say, source 32. Atayadata sadavar asher diber Hashem Moshe. Remember, God told Moshe to do this. Oh, of course, no problem. Kalev can have the land. Beno slavchad, come to Yehoshua. They say the same thing, source 33. Remember, Hashem sivad Moshe. No problem, no slavchad here. Here's your piece of land. Levi, remember, we need territory inside everyone else's territory. Source 34, remember, Hashem Siva B'Yad Moshe. No problem, Levi. Here's your land. Yehoshua is obedient to Moshe's mission, to Moshe's message. Look at this pasuk, source 35. It's like the, I would say, motto of Sefer Yehoshua. Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe Abdo. Kain Siva Moshe et Yehoshua. V'chein asa Yehoshua lo hitzir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. God commanded things to Moshe. Moshe commanded it to Yehoshua, and that's what Yehoshua did. He didn't turn from anything Moshe told him to do. He did exactly as he was told. Commitment. Not just in following directions, but also in copying Moshe. I gave you a chart here of all the places where Yehoshua mimics Moshe in his actions. Sends miraglim just like Moshe does. He splits the sea like Moshe. Holds his hands in the air in the middle of a battle just like Moshe. Uses certain types of plagues like hail just like Moshe. Uses the Aron as a symbol like Moshe. Has a similar story of a revelation of God where God says, take off your shoes. The place you're standing on is holy just like Moshe. Does a big Brit Milah celebration to then a Pesach celebration like Moshe. He teaches the Torah, the brachos, and the klavos exactly as Moshe tells him. He makes a covenant between the Jewish people and Am Yisrael, gives a big goodbye speech with much rebuke and much blessing right before he dies. Sefer Yoshua is really taking the story of Moshe and changing it into a shorter version. It's Yoshua doing everything Moshe said to do and copying as much as he can everything Moshe does. It's not surprising, therefore, that when Yehoshua as a leader gets so much of the ruach, the spirituality from Moshe as well. He's copying Moshe, doing everything Moshe told him. Therefore, source 36, once again, to review, Moshe changing his name. And source 37, psukim we all know, Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem oto vayikachas Yehoshua, vayimideu lefnei Elazar ha-kohen, Moshe stands Yehoshua in front of the Am, vayismoch et yadav alav. He like puts his hands on him. He says, you're next. And this putting his hands on him, we are told in Devarim, in the next pasuk, V'yashua banun malei ruach chachma, ki samach Moshe et yadav alav. Something about Moshe putting his hands on him transfers the chachma, the wisdom of Moshe, the spirituality of Moshe, onto Yehoshua. This parallels for us again the Eliyahu and Elisha relationship in source 38, where we say about Elisha, Nacha Ruach Eliyahu al Elisha, the spirituality of Eliyahu comes up in Elisha as well, him taking over for Eliyahu, Yehoshua here taking over for Moshe. So let me ask you, I see it clearly as I read the story of Yehoshua, his commitment to Moshe and his obedience to the words of Moshe. But why is that important in a leader? Why is that important as the person taking over for Moshe, that he be so obedient and he be so strict on himself to only do what Moshe told him to do? I would like to give you two answers. Number one, the people challenged him. The people challenged him, how do we know you're the next leader? How do we know you're the right leader? They say to him in source 39, which is the end of the first parak in Sefer Yoshua, where Reuven, Dan, Chatzi, Shev, and Menashe say to him, ויענו את יהושע לאמור, כל אשר ציוותני נעשה, ואת כל אשר תשלחנו נלך, we'll do whatever you want, we'll listen to you. כחול אשר שמענו אל משה, כי נשמע אליך. Everything, like we listen to Moshe, we will listen to you. Rak. Yehiye Hashem Elokecha imach kasher yah Moshe. Rak, Mesudas David says, what's rak? Nishma lecha rak sheyeh Hashem imach. Aval lo bezulat zeh. They challenged him. If we see God is with you, the way he was with Moshe, we'll listen to you. But if not, we won't. We will not listen to you. They challenged him. Well, how do you make people see you as someone who's like Moshe? How do you make them realize that you are like Moshe? Of course, what do? You copy him. And God tells him this. God tells him two ways the people will recognize that you're like Moshe, because these are the two ways I will be with you. Way number one, source 40, God says, Kasher hayiti Moshe eimach. You want to know the trick? I'll be with you the way I was with Moshe. I'll tell you how. Look where I bolded Zion. Rak chazak v'matzvaot. Be very, very strong. Lishmor v'lasok v'chol ha-Torah asher sivcha Moshe avdi. Follow everything I commanded Moshe. Al tasur mimenu yaminu smol. Don't change anything. Not to the right. Not to the left. Leman taskil v'chol asher telech. You want to be successful? You want to be a good leader? Do everything I told Moshe. To the T. Don't move in any direction. Be obedient. That's one way. The second way to get the people to recognize you as their leader is copy Moshe with your actions, not just by following everything he said. Source 41, right before we split the Yarden, Hashem says to Yoshua, Vayomer Hashem LeYoshua, Hayom Hazeh, Achel Gadlecha Beinei Kol Yisrael Asher Yedoun. Today's the day they're all going to realize you're like Moshe. Why? Ki Kasher Hayiti and Moshe Ayayimach, they will see that the miracle I did for Moshe, I'm now going to do for you. So I'm going to be with you like I was with Moshe. And he splits the sea. And right afterwards, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomahu Gidel Hashem et Yoshua ben Ekel Yisrael. It happened by copying that miracle, by copying the actions of Moshe, and God responding in that way by doing the same miracle. He was able to prove to the people, I'm like Moshe. Follow me like you followed Moshe. That's one reason why his obedience to Moshe and his commitment to Moshe was so important. But there's a much stronger reason why specifically Yoshua needed to be so obedient to Moshe's words. And that's because we always forget, when we think about Yoshua, probably his most important job. We all think about Yoshua, his job was to take us into Eretz Yisrael. His job was to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But he had a much more important job than that. And that was to transfer over the Mesorah to the next generation. He was somebody who was supposed to repeat the Torah, repeat the brachos and the klalos, the blessings and the curses, to the next generation, and reestablish the covenant between the people and Hashem, the most important and fundamental job. And Moshe warns him in Source 42, last week's Parsha, 2 weeks ago, Parsha, how do you do this? When you are repeating everything I told you, lo tasur michol advarim asher nochi mitzaveh eschem hayom yamin usmol. Don't change a thing. When you are giving over the Mesorah, you cannot innovate something new. It is the words of God. You need to say exactly as I am telling you. And therefore, there is such an emphasis in Source 43, when Yoshua is actually giving over that Mesorah, that everything he does is kasher tziva Moshe eved Hashem et bnei Yisrael. And I repeat Pasuk Lamed Hey again, lo haya davar mikol asher tziva Moshe asher lo kara Yoshua neged kol kol Yisrael. He didn't change anything. Everything Moshe told him to do, he did. It was needed to transfer a Mesorah. This personality is required. And that's why in Source 44 and Source 45, it is repeated over and over again. Al tasur mimenu yamin usmol leman taskil b'chol asher telech. God says it to Yoshua. The only way you're going to be successful in the job of your generation, of what you need to do, transfer the Mesorah, don't turn right or left. Don't do it. And this is something that becomes the bumper sticker of Yoshua. It's his motto. And when he dies, he says it back to the Jewish people. Source 45. V'chazakta ma'od l'shmor v'la'asod es kol ha'katuv b'sefer Torah Moshe libilti sor mimenu yamin usmol. He says, I understand that. I need you to understand that. That when it comes to following Torah Moshe, you can't turn right or left. Certainly, the commitment to Moshe and Moshe's mission is so clear in Yahushua, making him perfect for the job. But I have a third answer for you. Growth. Let's go back to my beginning questions. I said to you that Yahushua makes mistakes. But you see, the stories of Yahushua's mistakes are not there to say something negative about Yahushua. It's coming to teach us that people make mistakes. But people learn from their mistakes. And people grow from their mistakes. What were Yahushua's mistakes? Let's look at them again. Source 46, they're leaving Har Sinai. There's noise going on. And we know it's the story of Chet HaEgel. But Yahushua turns to Moshe and says, "Vayomer Moshe kol mechama b'machane." There's war going on. That's what it sounds like. The Jewish people are in trouble. And Moshe turns to him and says, no, Yahushua. Ein kol anu kevura, ve'ein kol anu cholusha. This is not someone winning and someone losing. This isn't mechama. This isn't war. Kol anut anu shomea. This is something else. And the Mefarshim all translate anut here as being fooling around, l'schok, something wrong, sinning. They're doing something wrong. This is not a fundamental mistake of Yahushua. This is a thing Yahushua learned. When you hear something, you need to recognize, what does battle sound like? And what does sin sound like? You're going to lead the Am, and one of your biggest jobs is killing out all of Canaan. You need to know what war sounds like, Yahushua. And therefore, Yahushua learns, don't jump to assumptions, investigate. Where do we see so clearly Yahushua learning his lesson? I already told you the story. During the time of Yahushua, Reuven and Gad are building this Mizbeach, and everyone's jumping, let's go fight, let's kill them, let's destroy them all. Who do you think chose to send Pinchas? Who's the leader of the at the time? Yahushua. Yahushua says, we don't run to conclusions that something bad is going on. I don't know what's going on. Let's investigate. He learns from his mistake. He grows as a person. And as a leader, he avoids a civil war. Second mistake, the story of Eldad Umedad. We all know the background. Moshe asks for help. 70 people are chosen to help out Moshe. They receive prophecy in the Machane. They receive prophecy, I should say. They're supposed to go to the Ohel Moed, and two men stay behind in the camp, Eldad Umedad. And they start prophesizing. And Yahushua stands up, "Vayomer Adoni Moshe Kala'im, you gotta stop, this is bad." The Mefarshim try to understand what's so bad about this. Source 47. The Ramban is of the view that it had nothing to do with what they were saying. It was the fact that they were prophesizing in the camp. Maybe they weren't saying the right things. Maybe because they weren't under the authority of Moshe, who was watching to make sure that what was coming out of their mouth was truthful, they were doing something wrong. They were challenging Moshe's authority. Or, as Rashi says, maybe it had to do with what they were actually saying. Moshe meit, v'Yahushua machnisis Yisrael la'aretz. Moshe's going to die. Moshe's not going to make it into Eretz Yisrael. He challenged to Moshe. So Yahushua gets up and he says, wait a second, stop. And Moshe again responds. Vayomer lo Moshe pasachar tet. I'm still at source 47. Hamikaneh tali, you're being zealous for me. Umi yitain kol am hazeh neviim. I wish the whole nation were prophets. Ki yitain Hashem et rucho aleim. I wish God gave his spirit to all of them. Moshe is teaching Yahushua another lesson that a leader needs to know. When you have other people that have strong leadership qualities, don't look at them as competition. Don't throw them to the side. Use them. Use them to help the nation. Use their prophecy. Use their leadership skills to help you. Which is why you would think when Yahushua takes over as a leader, Kalev and Pinchas are his biggest competition. They are also leaders. He uses their leadership skills. He doesn't shun them to the side. Kalev, he lets him run all the battles and lead Yehuda into battle. And Pinchas, he uses him to help compromise a almost civil war that takes place. Yahushua learns the lesson, use the people around you. Don't get scared of people who show leadership abilities. We watch Yahushua make mistakes in order to watch him grow. The growth of Yahushua is incredible in the Psukim, and the words of the Psukim themselves show us his growth. If you follow with me at source 48, as we know when we are introduced to Yahushua, Moshe is Eved Hashem, the servant of God. Yehoshua is the Misharet Moshe. And over, I gave it to you in small, Moshe is called this amazing title, Eved Hashem. And Yahushua, as we already saw over and over, the Misharet Moshe. But then when he dies in Source 49, we see a growth. He is called Eved Hashem. Source 49, Vayamat Yahushua Benun Eved Hashem. And again in Sefer Shoftim, he is called the Servant of God. Growth number two we see in the words. I told you before, Chazak V'yamat, be strong, be strong, be strong, Yahushua. He was scared. But guess what happens in Source 50? We're in the middle of his leadership. He turns to the Jewish people. Vayomer aleihem Yahushua, al tirau v'al tachtu'u chizku v'imsu. Yahushua takes the words, Chazak V'yamat, be strong. He himself now, full of confidence, uses that phrase back at the Jewish people. Be strong, Jewish people. I'm now strong. You be strong too. He grows. He grows as a person. Three answers to our question, all that are correct. He has the consistency, is the most similar to Moshe. He knows the job. He's been following Moshe around his whole life. He knows how to be the leader of the Jewish people. He's committed to Moshe's leadership. He follows Moshe's mission word to word. He copies him. He's the one to give over the Mesorah and take over the leadership. He grows as a person. We see him grow, learning how to be the best leader. I think it's so interesting that Yahushua is given two major roles as a leader. One is to lead us into Eretz Yisrael and conquer our enemies, and two is to give over the Mesorah. It is so fitting that therefore, when he is being trained by Moshe, he leads us into the battle against Amalek to directly train him to help lead us into battle against Canaan. And he accompanies Moshe as close as anyone possibly can to Har Sinai, to the first revelation, as he is the one who is going to be giving over the Mesorah to the next generation. It's also fitting how Yahushua is the only one who avoids both of the major sins of Moshe's generation. He's not there at the sin of the golden calf, and he certainly is the spy that says good things about Eretz Yisrael, not bad. But let's take this one step further. Why, with all my answers, could the leader now have not been Kalev or Pinchas? And I think it's clear. They are missing the first two things that we spoke about when it comes to Yahushua. Number one, let's talk about the commitment to Moshe. Kalev and Pinchas are innovators. They are people who do things in a rash way on their own. Think about it for a moment. Kalev, the spies come back. They're saying bad things. Yahushua takes a step back, very probably because he's thinking, Moshe's standing next to me. Who am I to speak up when Moshe is right here? I'll wait. And I will wait until Moshe falls on his face, and now I see Moshe's not responding, and now I'm going to respond. Kalev jumps right in. Vayahas Kalev etam. He jumps right in and he answers. Pinchas, Zimri is sitting in public, and Moshe's right there. It says in the pasuk, le'enei Moshe. Moshe doesn't kill Zimri. Pinchas rashly runs and stabs him. You might ask, was there a beast in there? Was he told? Did he get a nevuah that these people deserve to die? We don't just go around killing people for sinning. You might question the actions of Kalev and Pinchas. They're rash. They're not waiting to see what Moshe has to say. Which is why in the Psukim, God has to compliment both of them. Because you might come out of the story saying maybe they did something wrong. And the Gemara questions Pinchas. But God comes to the rescue and says, don't worry. Source 51 again. Avdi Kalev Eka HaTayiruach HaCharedimo. He was right. He did the right thing. Don't question what he did. Or when it comes to Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen HaShivat Chamasi Me'al ben Israel. He did the right thing. Don't question him. It doesn't make Yahushua look bad in comparison to Kalev. It's different personalities. Therefore, when we need someone to take over, to give over the Mesorah, to do word for word what Moshe says, to not go yaminu, small, right or left, to not veer, you can't trust a Pinchas or a Kalev. Second answer, consistency. If you look at the stories, and I went through them with you, of Kalev and of Pinchas, you see that they appear and then they disappear. And then they appear and they disappear. When there's something to be done, they do something big, and then they go back and they settle into the crowd. And then they come back out again. When you need a leader, you need someone consistent. To me, it reminds me always of Source 52, one of my favorite Tanakh stories, the difference between Eliyahu and Elisha. It's one of my favorite stories. God says to Eliyahu, who's yelling and yelling, destroy the Jewish people, kill me, I can't handle this. He tells him, you can look at the psukim inside, go outside. There's this big wind, I'm not in the wind. There's a fire, I'm not in the fire. There's an earthquake, I'm not in the earthquake. Where am I, God says. I'm in the kol dmama daka. I'm in that constant voice. You want to be a good leader, Eliyahu? You got to be there for those people all the time. You don't just get to show up and make a big deal on the mountain and everyone's supposed to change and everything's supposed to be okay and then everybody changes their ways. That's how people work. Consistency is what's needed in leadership. And that's certainly what we see in Yehoshua. I want to focus in the last minute that I have here on the growth of Yehoshua. You see, it's very unusual in Tanakh that you follow a character from the beginning of their life to the end of their life. We normally meet somebody at a certain age in their life when they're fully developed, or we hear little pieces about them. Yehoshua, we actually get to follow from the very beginning to the end. And it's fun for us as the reader. We're introduced to him as a boy. We see him following Moshe around, learning from Moshe. We watch him grow. We watch him make mistakes, but then we watch him learn from his mistakes. He doesn't run away from Moshe after being yelled at. He learns. He keeps going. We then watch him as he gets chosen to be the leader, and we are cheering for him because we saw where he came from and where he is now, and we are excited. And we're anxious with him as he's being told Chazak V'amatz, and we feel his fear taking over for someone like Moshe. We feel it as we're reading the story of Yehoshua. We're nervous. But then we watch him in Sefer Yehoshua, and he does every command, one after the other. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. He's doing it. Crosses us over. Conquers our enemies. Gives over the Masorah. Continues on and continues on. And we are ecstatic. When the Sefer ends, Source 53, Vayavod Yisrael et Hashem kol yimei Yehoshua. He's an incredible leader. Everybody followed God the whole time. There's no rebellions. There's no bad stories. We did great. Yehoshua made it. He grew and he was successful. Yehoshua inspires us to grow. Yehoshua inspires us that on day one, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect on day two or three either. But what we do have to do is take what happens to us and grow from it and learn from it and change who we are to become better. That's the message of Yehoshua. We now just finished Rosh Hashanah. We are days away from Yom Kippur. Sometimes as it's coming, we feel we can't change, we can't grow, we are who we are. But Yehoshua teaches us we can grow. We can change. We can be a better person. That's the message of Yehoshua. That's the inspiration of Yehoshua and why he's chosen as our leader. Thank you very much.